Welcome to the Graceway Weekly Message Podcast. At Graceway, our mission is to bring the future kingdom into the present, and we hope this message encourages you to know and enjoy God, find friends, discover your purpose, and make a difference in your community. Enjoy today's message.
So today's going to be a little bit different. Man, if I could, I would love to, at the end of this year, sit down with you over a coffee or a medium rare steak, as I talked about at Christmas Eve, and just kind of pastor you through the year that has been and the year that's coming. Obviously, I can't do that, so I'm really wanting to use this space to kind of pastor and coach you. I'm really wanting to give you some spiritual principles that are going to help you invite God into your present reality and into the year that is to come. Transitions are vitally important in Scripture. And so we're going to pause. That's actually the title of this sermon, Pause. And I want to give you some resources that I'm going to ask you. I'm actually going to give you an assignment at the end of this and this week to really lean into the year that has been and the year that's going to come. But let's pray and we will get to it. Lord, thank you for your sovereignty. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for always showing up and doing what you said you would do. Lord, we want to continue to seek you. We want to continue to trust you. We want to continue to be the kind of church that you want us to be. So, Lord, we thank you for generosity and for people hopping in on the Compassion Project. We thank you as we anticipate 21 days of prayer. We thank you for what you're doing in this church. And we are greedy for more. We are greedy for your glory. And so we trust you, Lord. We put ourselves in a posture to listen right now. And we ask that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus for your glory and our good. And all God's people said, amen. So I want to start a little silly, but I think it will make sense to you. So everybody at some point this morning did something naturally, almost without thinking, before you walked out the door. You walked by some type of reflective material and you paused and you took inventory about what was happening with the fit. You know what I'm saying? Is the hair in the right place? Is the stash where it needs to be? Is the tie straight? Are we good? Right? Now, what's interesting about this is nobody taught you to do this. I didn't sit my kids down and say, okay, listen, when you get up in the morning, you do a certain amount of things, and then before you walk out the door, just double check that those things worked, right? We didn't have that conversation. We all do that. And your reflection is two things. It's neutral, right? It's not biased. It doesn't show you what you want to see. It sometimes shows you what you didn't expect to see because your reflection always tells you the truth. So here's my request. I want you to do more of that. I want you to do more reflection, not for vanity, but because God gives you reflection for perspective and for protection. This is unique to you as a human being. This is a part of God creating you in his image. There are no animals walking around going, let me see how I feel about 2025. Let me see what I can envision for 2026. No, this is unique to you and I to look at, to consider events, relationships, and occurrences in the year that was neutrally for perspective and for protection, to learn what you need to learn from your past for your future. I want to say this to you, and if you miss anything around this, hear this principle. The Bible emphasizes transition again and again and again, far more than our culture does. Let me give you some examples. Abraham, I'm going to take you to a land and make a nation of you, but before you can get that, I need you to leave everything that you know and everything that you love, and I need you to transition to that place. Joseph, I'm going to give you a vision. They're bowing down to you. But before you get to that space, you're going to be sold into slavery by your brothers. You're going to be sent to prison, falsely accused of rape. You're going to have a massive transition before those promises come to pass. David, you're going to be the king, but before you get a crown, you get a cave. In the early church, Jesus is here. Jesus says, I'm leaving. What do you mean you're leaving? I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I want you to go to Jerusalem. We're going to see this in the book of Acts. And I want you to wait. There's going to be a period of transition before the church starts. Paul, on the road to Damascus, gets blinded, gets called, is given a mission. 13 years before Acts 13, when he is commissioned and sent out of the church at Antioch. Transitions can be stressful. They typically are. Transitions can be extra busy. Transitions are a lot of change. We don't like change. And so what we tend to do is we avoid transitions or we power through transitions. I'll give you an example. At the end of a year, what do? We go out and we party like it's 1999 so that we can start the new year with a hangover. We go and watch a ball descend. We go and act like an idiot to celebrate the year and prepare ourselves for the year that is to come. Now think about that for a second. We all do this as preparation for the year that is to come. What I want to say to you is that all of your transitions, when coupled with reflection, can be holy ground. Your transitions, when you go from a job to a job, from a house to a house, from a city to a city, from a relationship to a relationship, these are places that God speaks. I actually think that God speaks most often and most clearly in the wilderness, in the cave, in the crossing, in the waiting, and in the transition. And I want to encourage you, just as a principle, that when you are experiencing change or transition, to not avoid it, but rather lean into it, reflect on it, so that God can prepare you from the past for what he has for you in the future. Now, when we watch the life of Jesus, we see this again and again and again. We see him prioritizing transitions. In Mark chapter 6, after a season of hard work, he goes away to recharge. After a season of grief, in Matthew chapter 14, he goes away to reflect and pray. In Luke chapter 5, he goes away simply to spend time with the Father. In Luke chapter 6, he goes away before he's going to make a major decision. In Luke chapter 22, after a time of distress, he goes away so that he can reflect and prepare. Whenever he has a major season coming, in Luke chapter 4, he goes away after Jesus is baptized. In Luke chapter 3, it begins. Luke chapter 4, Jesus is about to start his ministry, and to prepare for his ministry, what does he do? He goes away for 40 days to spend time with God, to hear from the Father, to pray, to prepare, to reflect. And I want you to notice something. The temptation of Jesus doesn't happen in the public forum. It happens in the private place. Now, what does the enemy know that we don't know? That he would attack Jesus in private, in a time of reflection, in a time of isolation, not on a platform, not in a public space. We are so enamored with the public us that we misunderstand the power of the private you. And I'm here to tell you that by the time you are on a platform, by the time you are in public, it exposes the work or preparation that did or didn't happen in private. Maximize these transitions. Prepare for new seasons. Lean in to change. Now, when we study the Gospels, we can't definitively know. The Bible doesn't tell us what Jesus did, like what were his practices. But the circumstances let us know that he is responding to something, and he is preparing for something. He's in transition, kind of like we are right now. 2025 is almost over. 2026 is around the corner. So we ought to follow in the steps of our rabbi, so to speak, and do what he did. And set aside some time to prepare. To understand your future, you have to think about your past. If you don't think about the past, it is your future. Listen to Ecclesiastes 1 in verse 9. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be, and there is nothing new under the sun. Some of you are living the exact same year like Groundhog Day. What's your plan for 2026? Basically, my plan for 2023, 2024, 2025. And what I want to say is that it is possible. Look, God is doing a new thing. So look at what he has done so you can prepare for what is coming. Now, knowing the circumstances of Jesus' time for reflection, I think that there are a couple things that we can do today, a couple ways that I want to pastor and coach you. We're going to look back. I'm going to give you some perspective, and we're going to look forward, okay? Now, looking back, we're going to talk about three things that I need you to do. Number one, I need you to be honest. Number two, I need you to be thankful. Number three, I need you to be sad, okay? Be honest, be thankful, and be sad. Let's start with be honest. So imagine Jesus in the wilderness in these times of self-reflection. Jesus always had perfect self-awareness, didn't he? Jesus didn't look in the mirror and say, how am I feeling today? No, Jesus was God. He knew how he was feeling. He always squared to the reality of what was happening internally and externally. You aren't Jesus. We struggle with self-awareness. We have all looked in the mirror and see something that we didn't expect and that we wanted to avoid. But listen to what the Bible says about this in James chapter 1. For anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer, anybody who looks at God's word and sees the truth and does not do it, here's what the Bible says about them. He is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. You've had this experience before, that you got it all just as it should be, and you walk out the door only to see, what is that in my nose? What has grown on my face between the time I had this jacket off and I put this jacket on? And to see the truth and not do something about the truth is to leave that booger there and that zit unpopped. Reflection, it's neutral. It doesn't have a bias. It doesn't lie to you. It gives you an opportunity to respond. Reflection gives you an opportunity to respond. You can't go where you want to go if you aren't honest about where you're starting. I hear people say, 2026 is the year. I'm gonna get an 8-pack. Well, you gotta know that you're starting with a double keg, right? You gotta know that. People say, I wanna make $250,000 this year. This is the year I'm gonna make $250,000. Yeah, but you're $500,000 in debt. You gotta know where you're starting. You don't just pull vision randomly out of the Ethernet, right? No, you gotta have your feet on the ground when you're thinking about the past and the future. So let me give you some ways to think about this. And if I were you, I would take some notes. This is gonna be online, so don't freak out and get carpal tunnel, all right? It'll all be available. So in 2025, would you say that you were mostly healthy or unhealthy? Now you can process this however you want. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, healthy or unhealthy. Would you say that in 2025 you were full or you were empty? Were you growing or were you stuck? Did you spend more time in the valley or on the mountain? If I were you, I would spend time in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where Solomon references multiple seasons, and I would name the seasons of 2025, or you could go to the Gospels and you could look at, was 2025 a season of planting? Was it a season of watering? Was it a season of pruning? Was it a season of harvesting? But I need you to name it. I need you to name where you're starting. Now, it's less about what happened and it's more about your response to it. So let me give you three ways to think about what happened. So you're gonna journal this, and you're gonna name what happened, and then you're going to think about your thoughts around that. And then you're gonna listen to your words around those events. So if you read that event happening and the next word that comes out of your mouth is profanity, I would follow that thread. Why? Why do you feel that way about it? Oh, that was terrible. Oh, that was brutal. Why? Why? Think about your thoughts, listen to your words, and evaluate your emotions. These are all things that God has given you. They're all tied. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Your emotions are a God-given thing that give you direction around where to dig in your heart. So laying out what happened, naming what happened in 2025, and then thinking about how you thought about it, talked about it, and felt about it. Say amen if you're tracking. Think about the decisions that you made in 2025. Think about the behavior that you exhibited in 2025. What was right? What was wrong? What was selfless? What was selfish? What was generous? What was stingy? What was life-giving? What sucked the life out of you? What worked? What didn't work? What habits and rhythms did you keep or not keep? And what happened? Now, why? Why do you go through all these things? Because if it worked and if it was life-giving and if God blessed it, you should do it again in 2026. And if it didn't work and if it sucked the life out of you and God didn't bless it, hear me, name it so that you don't do it again in 2026. Think about your relationships. Think about your relationships. Did you prioritize your priorities in 2025? Are the most important relationships in your life the healthiest relationships in your life? So let me give you a grid if you're taking notes. It's two quadrants, all right? Growing and enjoyable. So everybody in this room has relationships that when you are with them, you do not enjoy them and you do not grow. Now here's the problem. The squeaky wheel always gets the oil. So this is the place you should be investing the least, but this is the place that you give the most amount of emotional and mental power to, because it's always squeaking at you. I don't grow with you. I'm not healthy with you. I don't enjoy you. This is a person that you want out, not deeper in 2026. Let me give you three other relationships. This is somebody that I grow with them, but I don't enjoy them. That you can afford a couple of these. You can afford a couple of these in your life. There are other people that you enjoy, but you don't grow. This is the person you see on a Friday night once a quarter. You get what I'm saying? You go out, you have a great time. You don't love Jesus more. You have a small regret, not a big regret, just a small regret, but you had a great, great, great time. You can afford a couple of these a year. You can afford one person that's in this quadrant. The people that you need to spend the most amount of time with and invest the most amount of energy is people, I enjoy you and I grow when I'm with you. So write out your relationships. Write out your priorities. Jesus, spouse, kids, right? These are the areas you have to win. They're gonna require the most amount of energy, but the most amount of ROI. You track with what I'm saying? The people that you don't enjoy and you're not growing with, get them out of here. Get them out of here. The people that you do enjoy and you do grow with, spend more time with them. Let's talk about your walk with God. How close does he feel to you in 2025? How safe does he feel to you in 2025? How faithful has he been to you? Now watch. I know that God is close, that God is good, that God is faithful. That is true. That's not the question. The question is, how does he feel to you? How did he feel to you in 2025? The question is, does your life experience and reality mimic what God says is true about him? And if it doesn't, you want to spend some time walking through that. Talk to me about your conviction of your sin. In 2025, did you do the same thing and it bugs you less? 2025, did you just accept? Or are you continually grieved by your sin? Are you continually excited by grace or bored with grace? These are important questions for you to ask as we're in transition. How often are you hearing from God? I heard a pastor say he gets nervous if he hasn't heard from God every 3 days. Now don't latch on to the 3 days and take that as a weight. But if you haven't heard from God in 3 years, if you don't remember the last time you've heard from God, can I tell you, if you haven't heard from God in 3 months, if you haven't heard from God in 3 weeks, here's why this is a problem, because I promise you God is speaking. The question is whether or not you're listening, and if it has been a long time since you remember God speaking to you, not me speaking to you about God, God speaking to you, you need to follow that thread. I need you to reflect. Don't be defensive. I don't need you to explain why you felt that way. I don't need you to explain it away. I just need you to look in the mirror and say, this is what it is. Say where you're starting. Be honest. Number two, be thankful. Be thankful. So as a church, man, 2025 was a good year. Our church grew 20% this year. We saw over 30% more salvations than we did last year. And just to be clear, friends, last year was a record year. for this church. We're 83 years old, by the way. It was a record year, and this year, 30% more, 20% more, 258 baptisms, another 50 scheduled at Crossroads. Growth Track grew 80%. The Dream Team grew 18%. Small groups grew 7%. Your giving, generosity grew 11%. We have about 400 people in D1, and D2 is done. It will release in 2026. We added 4 new international partners, the Pontic Hills, a zero zone, no Christians, no churches. So we now have a partner there in Turkey, Eastern Iraq, Finland, working in Azerbaijan, in Transylvania. Yes, that Transylvania. We added a third service. We're talking about a community center for our city. Come on, it has been a good year at this church. It's been a good year. And we praise God for that, because trust me when I tell you, that isn't because of any of us. Trust me when I tell you, there are lots of churches who love Jesus and aren't seeing the blessing that we're seeing. Come on, be grateful for what God is doing. But can I also tell you, you have a lot to be grateful for. The problem is you just forgot. Listen to Deuteronomy 6. Then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Now think about that for a second. God says to the people of Israel, don't forget that you were a slave for 400 years. Think about that. If the Hebrews can forget that they were a slave for 400 years, I promise you, you can forget God's grace and goodness in 2025. Deuteronomy 8, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Psalm 143, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all you have done. You can't meditate while you're moving. I ponder the work of your hands. You can't ponder in passing. It takes time. It takes reflection. Ecclesiastes 12, remember also your creator in the days of your youth before the evil days came. And the years drew near of which you say, I had no pleasure in them. Remember it now so that you don't get there and say, I can't remember anything good. Psalm 77, I remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I remember your wonders of old. We've all heard the hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Can I tell you, wandering is always predicated by forgetting. You show me somebody who walked away from God, and I'll show you somebody who stopped remembering the goodness of God. Nobody who remembers the goodness of God strays from their faith. It's those of us who forget, so we are then incentivized by a lesser blessing. Somebody who stays close to the goodness of God is staying close to what God has done, remembering what God has done. Now listen to this next sentence. If trauma forms you until you give it attention, good is forgotten if you don't acknowledge it. Now, what does this mean? It means if I were you, I would end this year with an open Bible, with an open journal, with a pen you like writing with a cup of coffee, and I would just start writing all of the blessings of God. Be thankful. Don't think it. Don't in passing say it. No. Write it down so you can come back to it. Write it down so in 21 days of prayer, when you're calling out to God and saying, God, could you do this? You can go back and say, look at what God, if God did this, God can do this. So be honest and be thankful. And then number three, I want you to be sad. Now, as a church, we have a lot to be grateful for, but we also have some things to grieve. We had loved ones pass away in 2025. We had marriages that continue to struggle and even failed in 2025. We have kids who went wayward and rebelled in 2025. Mental health, still an issue, 2025. Financial struggle, still an issue, 2025. Addiction, still an issue, 2025. Divided country, culture, city, still an issue, 2025. Some of you are no more free at the end of 2025 than you were at the end of 2024. And as important as it is to give thanks, it's equally important to grieve. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So grief is how you assimilate pain. It's how you process pain into your system and then out of your system. Mourning is the process of grief, and mourning takes time. In fact, mourning shows up when it wants to show up. And you either let it be and process it, or you ignore it because you're too busy to deal with it. But here's what I need you to understand. What does Scripture say? Comfort follows mourning. So if you don't mourn, you can't have comfort. When we talk about trauma, and I'm using trauma as a broad umbrella of all the hurts, habits, hang-up, bruising, difficulties, struggles that we have, there are three responses. There is fight, flight, and there is freeze. And if there is no grieving, if there is no closure, your soul stays in a place of perpetual hyperactivity. You've said something to somebody that was completely benign, only to have them blow up on you. What happened? Not processed trauma. Why would you say that? I don't know. You triggered something, and it created an over response. At the same time, some of us should be moved by it, and you're not. It's an under response. And the source is typically the same. You have undealt with trauma. You haven't grieved. You haven't mourned. We see this in soldiers who come back from combat. We see this in cops and in firefighters. So much trauma, it's normalized in their soul. But it can happen to all of us. And again, I want to say trauma forms you until you give it attention. The longer you go without giving it attention, the more it distorts and disassociates you from reality. So you look in the mirror and what you see isn't true. It has to be faced honestly. I need you to reflect on 2025, and I need you to grieve what was hard in 2025, what was sad in 2025, what was lost in 2025. I need you to square to the reality that it happened. God is still good. God is still powerful. And it happened. You say, I can't do that. Then you need to call a friend. You say, I don't have a friend. Then you need to join a small group. That's the reason small groups exist, for you to find a friend. It's on the wall. You say, well, this feels too big for me to say to a friend or to make a new friend. And then I would say, then you need to go to counseling. Listen, you are not too strong. You're not too strong to not need a counselor. Now, I understand that there are cultural barriers to counseling, and I'm going to say them out loud as we end 2025, okay? I do not have a difficult time convincing young people to go to counseling. It's all you old people that I have a hard time with. Because you say, that's just not how our generation did it. That just wasn't a thing. That's for you young people. Now, let's just pick this up for a minute here. If you are 30 years older than that 25-year-old, you're 55 years old, just some quick math for you, that means you have a 30-year head start, yes, on wisdom, but also on hurt. You're walking around with more. And if you think you are too wise to need counseling, you are more foolish than you think. I do not have a hard time convincing white people to go to counseling. I don't. Come on, let's just name it. And I can say this, that some of the more underserved communities in our city, that's exactly the reason that those communities are suspicious of things like counseling. I'm here for it. I get it. But in 2026, I need you to be wise enough, more mature person, to be more mature, to ask for help when you need it. And I need you to be strong enough, you with varying levels of melanin, I'm desperately trying to not say it, all right? I need you to be open to the church helping. Not only from the parts of the church that look like you. Come on, if we are a body and we all serve particular parts and have different experiences and gifts, it may be that you exactly need a different experience than yours to help you see your experience differently. And it could be that all the division and all the inequality that is not from God, it could be that in the church we could step over that and we could all get better. We could all get better. And if you say, I just don't think I can do it, then I need you to, in 21 days of prayer, ask God for the strength to see it as it is and do what needs to be done. So we look back, we be honest, we be thankful, we be sad. When we look forward, listen to Hebrews chapter 12. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, as Americans, we read that verse and we assume that we lay aside weight so that we can go fast. But the author of Hebrews is saying that you lay aside weight so that you can go far. The Bible has nothing to say about how fast you get things done. That is a Western construct, not a biblical construct. The Bible has a lot to say, not about how fast you are, but how far you go and how you finish. And hear me, there is a pace to finishing. And it is not fast. It is not a sprint. When you think about finishing well, in the presumption that according to Ecclesiastes, you get approximately 70 years or 80 years because of strength. That's what the Bible says. You have a set amount of days. If you think, where do I want to be at the end of my life? You are going to set a pace to finish well. And can I tell you, some of you will not finish well because you try to do everything fast. So to go far in 2026, I need you to slow down. Jesus had an interesting speed to him, didn't he? I want you to think about this. So before the foundations of the earth, God the Father ordains that Jesus would come. We just celebrated it. And he would become incarnate. He would take on flesh and move into our neighborhood. And then for the first 30 years, he does nothing. Now think about that from your Western perspective. You got a limited amount of time. You had an eternity to plan for this thing. And you show up and you don't do anything for 30 years. Are you kidding me, Jesus? People are dying and going to hell. We're trying to bring a kingdom. We're trying to get the gospel spread. And you wait 30 years to do anything? What's up with that? And then he takes a ministry and he just does it for 3 years. 3 years. And he picks 12 dudes, one of whom was gonna betray him, 10 of whom weren't gonna make it to the cross with him. I mean, when it comes to HR, I'm just saying, Jesus, I know you're perfect, but, and then when, just when the tide started to swell and it started to be going well, and big crowds and big noise and the platform is growing, Jesus is like, all right, I'm gonna go take a break. Bro, you've only been here 3 years. What are you talking about, take a break? Like, you can sleep when you're in heaven, man. Like, we got stuff to do, future kingdom and all that kind of deal. Like, Jesus' definition of pace and productivity is different than yours. It's different than yours. I need you to steward your time in 2026. Look carefully then how you walk, not as the unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Please hear this. If you are one of these optimization, productivity, efficiency people, please hear this. To finish well, you are going to have to accept that a healthy pace means I don't do everything I could do. And it takes longer to do everything that I need to do. Now, if you just look at the life of Jesus, Jesus got done, and you could have argued, Jesus, we need more time, we need more souls, we need more sermons. Why didn't he do it? This could be bigger, this could be faster, this could be more efficient. Your checklist is probably going to get to the end of the week and it's not going to all be checked. Now, I know that some of you, that puckers you at a level that is demonic. But I'm here to tell you, you need to steward your time differently. You need to steward your time differently. And I want you to begin your calendar with Sabbath and with anchors. Hear me on this. Sabbath is a double-sided coin. It is both the diligent and productive work and the systematic and repeated rest that God calls us to. Now, some of you are great at one and bad at the other. Some of you are great at work and terrible at rest, and some of you are great at rest and terrible at work. And what I have noticed is that the people who are great at rest are the ones who like talking about Sabbath. And the ones who desperately need a Sabbath because they're great at work don't want to hear about Sabbath. But Sabbath is both. It's both. We work to glorify God and bring glory to others. We rest to reflect and to remember. We need both. And you need some anchors in your calendar. These are things that you start the year and these things are in. Anchor, it slows you down on purpose. It takes time, but it promotes health. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Let me give you some anchors that I would do if I were you. Number one, Sunday morning. I'm here, right? But it takes time. But the Chiefs are on. But I was out late last night. But I have stuff to do. No, this is, we worship together consistently. It's an anchor. 21 days of prayer, twice a year. I don't have time to pray. Baby, you are too busy to not pray. Reading the Bible and praying every day, 7 days a week, 7 days a week. It's an anchor. It takes time, but it promotes health. Dating your spouse weekly. Come on, men. Come on, men. You want to blow your wife's mind? Sit down with an open calendar and say, hey, babe, when are we going to do our weekly date? And when she wakes up, come on, you dated her to get her. Date her to keep her. You say, I don't have the money. You didn't have the money when you were dating. You figured it out. Figure it out. Come on, I want to get to the end of the year and say, we didn't have any divorces at Graceway. You know how you get that? Men, date your wives. Men, date your wives. Women, don't be so expensive to date, all right? Come on, somebody. Come on, I'm an equal opportunity offender, all right? And then if I didn't get you with that, I'm gonna get you with this. Here's another anchor, exercise. Come on, if you believe that God has plans and purposes for your life and for your future, you ought to take better care. Can you imagine standing before God and him saying, I had all these things, but you wouldn't stop eating? Come on, let's not be Americans about this. Let's be spiritual about this. You need to work out. And you want to walk, walk. You want to lift weights. I'm not talking about you getting jacked and wearing spaghetti tank tops, okay? That's weird. I'm talking about you stewarding this because God gave it to you so that you can bring the future kingdom into the present. Take better care of it. Take better care of it. Worship, 21 days of prayer, read your Bible and pray, date your spouse, lift something heavy, walk farther. Come on, steward your time better. To go far, slow down. To go far, see clearly. Jesus was crystal clear on who he was, wasn't he? You say to Jesus, why are you here? To do the will of the Father. You gonna do that thing? I don't know, let me ask the Father. Nope, not the time of the Father. You see it again and again and again. So if I said to you, why are you here? Why are you here? You should know. You should know. Listen to Habakkuk 2. The Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on a tablet so that he may run who reads it. Come on, it should be simple. It should be quick. You should have written it down here somewhere so that you can walk around with it. So let me help you with this. The values of our church is the gospel's impact on you. So in 2026, how are you going to know and enjoy God? How are you gonna grow in your devotion for God? Well, I just hope I'm gonna love him more. No. What's the plan? What's the vision? What are we doing? Write it down so that you can do it, so you can be accountable to it. Number two, how are you gonna find friends? How are you gonna get free? You wanna go far? Go with somebody. You wanna go fast? Go alone. You wanna go far? Go together. Come on, what small group do you need to get into? What friend do you need to make? How are you gonna discover your purpose? How are you gonna get developed in who God says that you are? If you don't know who God says who you are, your spiritual gifts, go to Growth Track. Come on, some of you come in here every week. You're like a starving man sitting next to a buffet. Go to Growth Track. Get clear on who you are. And then get aligned with who you are. Can I tell you why you hate your job? I get it. There are realities of bills. But some of you just keep doing the thing that you hate because you aren't aligned with who God says that you are. So pay your bills as you align year after year after year. Can I tell you? I work a lot and I love to work because it's just who I am. I don't work to be a pastor, I'm a pastor. And it happens to be my job. Some of you, you are this, is who God made you to be, but you spend 40 hours a week doing this and you wonder why you're miserable. So get clear on who you are and over time have a plan to align your design with your calendar. How are you gonna make a difference in 2026? How are you gonna impact others in 2026 based on your design? Can I tell you, your most fulfilled life is for you to take your design and aim it at somebody else. That's why God gave it to you. God didn't give you your gifts for you. He gave you your gifts for somebody else. And the best life is this thing that I am. I love when I do it. You love when I do it. It works when I do it. What is that thing? And if you don't know, go to Growth Track. And if you've gone to Growth Track, then align your life to what God told you. Thirdly, to go far, stay close. To go far, slow down. To go far, see clearly. To go far, stay close. Jesus did not crave crowds. He craved time with the Father. This is the manna principle. Why did God make manna something that the people of Israel had to do every day? Single day. You know that God could have created a freezer and put meat in the freezer and created a lightly, you know, hydrated vegetable section and preserved it in a miraculous way so that they never had to come back to him. Why did he make them come back day after day after day? Listen, you want 2026 to be an incredible year? No, hear me. If you will stay close to God, I cannot promise you you'll get to the end of the year and say that was an easy year. I can promise you, you'll get to the end of the year and say, God showed up. God kept his word. God was trustworthy. God did something in 2026. Okay, here's your assignment. Are you ready? Okay, it's four P's. I'm gonna say them quick and then I'll be in my seat. Okay, number one, before the end of the year, I need you to party. Okay, now, I don't mean to go out on these streets and act stupid because you think that's what I meant. I mean, I need you to do whatever you do to commemorate the enjoyment and blessing that God has brought into your life. That's a party in scripture. I need you to throw a party. I need you to set aside time just to have fun, to laugh, to enjoy, to remember the goodness of God in 2025. I need you, number two, to set a time to pause. What does pause mean? It means that I sit down with quiet, I sit down with open Bible, with open journal, with pen, with cup of coffee, and I slow it all the way down and I say, God, bring things to my remembrance. Say things to me. God, speak to me. Number three, I want you to pray over 2025. Be honest. Be thankful. Be sad. Make some commitments about 2026. About your pace, about your clarity, about your motivation in 2026. Party, pause, pray, plan. Where's the plan go? I write it down so that he who reads it can run with it. And then I take the party, the pause, the pray, and the plan into 21 days of prayer. And I'm soaking on this and I'm tithing my ear to God. Here's what I think you heard. Here's the plans that I have. Are there any other pauses? Are there any other parties? Listen, this is what it means to bring the future kingdom of God into your present. It doesn't just happen. No, you commit yourself to certain ways and God shows up in those ways. Here's my hope for you. My hope for you is that I give this same message at the end of 2026 and you go, yep, 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 yep. God's word is yes and amen. Yes, God should. No, it wasn't easy. But man, I love God more. I'm crystal clear on who God created me to be. I have seen God's provision. I have seen God's blessing. I have seen God use my life. And I can't imagine doing anything other than following Jesus at the end of 2026. That's what we want. That's what we want for you. And church, if you will commit to do this and you're tracking with me today, give me a good amen. Father, we love you. And Lord, we know that scripture says that we set plans, but you order our steps. And so Lord, we want to end this year and invite you into this transition. Lord, we want to enjoy and party and celebrate and remember your goodness in 2025. We want to be honest and give thanks. And we also have some things, Lord, that we need to grieve. We also, Lord, just want to slow down and get into our prayer closet or get into our prayer chair or get into a space where the noise is out and we can pray and we can get your plan for us in 2026. Lord, we want to put your kingdom first in 2026. And so, Lord, I pray for those of us who are going to take me up on this pause and pray and party and plan. I pray, Lord, that even now you will ordain and anoint that time. I pray, Lord, that you will fill this church up with vision that you've given us. I pray, Lord, that you will release from the hands of the enemies the blessings that he is holding down. I pray, Lord, that you will release hope and joy and peace and love. I pray that you will release generosity. I pray that you will release impact and courage and faith in this house. And Lord, I believe you're gonna do it. So I'm gonna tell you now, 365 days from now, I'm gonna say thank you for what you did. We trust you, Lord. We follow you and we love you because you loved us first. Thank you for 2025. We trust you with 2026 and we pray it all in the name of Jesus and all God's people said, amen and amen. Church, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for an incredible year. You're an incredible church. I'll see you next week for Acts and 21 Days of Prayer. I love you. Have a great week.